it's God first, others second, yourself third. The unique and cool thing about it is if you have that perspective, it comes back around to benefit you.
Cats have it! I'm a national champ! I'm a national champ! I'm a national champ! Unbelievable!
Iwu Hoops presents The Pursuit. Go inside the locker room as Iwu Hoops trades the pursuit of me for the pursuit of three.
Welcome to Season 6 of the Pursuit Podcast, where we go inside the locker room of Indiana Wesleyan men's basketball. It's been 3 years since Coach Tonigal and I have told the story of what happens during a regular basketball season. But this year we had two of our players, Griffin Cleaver and Nolan Mader, come to us and just say, hey, we want to tell this story as it goes. So today you're going to hear from the two of them and Coach Tonigal, and we're going to share a little bit about what happened last season, how we're feeling heading into the year. And then we're going to pass the mic to those guys, and they're going to tell the story of this season as it happens. We're joined now by Coach Tonigal, Griffin Cleaver, and Nolan Mader. Coach Tonigal, I'm excited for what these guys want to do this year, but why don't you start by just going back to when we did this podcast in the past. We've done 5 seasons of this, and the goal, as the tagline said, is to take people inside the locker room as a group of people trades the pursuit of me for the pursuit of three. So why have we done this podcast, and what's the fruit that you've seen from it?
Well, I too am excited just to get back to telling a story. I mean, I think sometimes in coaching, you mark seasons by victories, right? Somebody says, how'd you do, you know, last year? Your mind immediately goes to what was your record? And although that's one way to mark a season, I think there's another way. And for us, it's what did God do through the lives of each player and coach? And When we start to mark seasons, it's usually very specific that there was a theme or a word, and to be able to recognize that and identify that and even see the own change, the change in your own life is something we wanted to tell. So we began to, you know, do these podcasts, and they became great encouragement for me as a coach. I've been able to look back and remember and grow as a coach, but I think we've also tried to be an encouragement to, you know, parents or other coaches. To just see the bigger picture of what coaching can become if you take your eyes off yourself and you put it on God, you put it on other people.
Maybe share your heartbeat for other coaches, because this has been used to help other coaches know how to do ministry in their context, and even leaders outside of sports in their context. So share more of your heart, what you really have seen and hope for.
Well, as you know, coaching has the potential to be the best job in the world, but can also be one of the most frustrating jobs in the world. It can swing both ways, and it often does throughout a season. But I think when we take our focus off of ourselves, and we're not trying to either, you know, make it solely about winning or the pursuit of a status, but instead we begin to allow God to speak into our coaching efforts, there's new potential for enjoying the game. I think there's new potential for becoming better at our craft. And so my heart has always been, how do we share what God's doing? I mean, I think God's done a work here and continues to do a work here, and it's despite us. I mean, I think we've recognized that. I don't think we're, you know, specifically gifted more than any other coach, but I think the fact that we have just been willing to share and surrender this great ambition to succeed, but first to say we want to open ourselves to what God is doing, but second, we want to then apply our talents and our ambitions. But in doing that, to say this is about God, this isn't about us, and then to lock arms with other like-minded coaches. I think there's a ton of coaches out there who are in the boat that I think you and I have talked about being in various stages of our own coaching career. We got into this game, we're super excited, and then you get to a point and you go, what am I doing? Like, this is frustrating. This isn't what it built up to be. Am I called to be a coach? And you begin to question all those things. And I think it's just a redirection of that focus. And so as we've shared that with coaches, man, we've heard some tremendous stories of finding joy in the game, becoming better coaches, having greater influence, all the things I think we get into coaching in the first place for.
Griff, I want to turn to you now, because Coach was talking there about just the desire of this program to surrender things. And when the Holy Spirit prompts us to do things, to follow through. So you reached out and just said, hey, I've been listening to some of these past seasons, and as I've been praying, I've just felt this hunger to do this again. And you had a vision for it. So just talk us through how that came to life.
Yeah, so I was driving back here from Kansas City, so I got a lot of windshield time, and I've just, when I was a recruit, I loved listening to those podcasts. I felt like I got to know those guys, and most of those guys I've never met before. And I just always connected with it. And the spiritual side of things was always something that I knew I was looking for in a program. And I didn't really know like the effect that had on me. And then when I was just driving and I was listening and I was just hearing, I think it was Cain and Coffee. And he was talking in an episode and you just hear the like genuine passion in this guy's voice. And you hear the stories about this guy leading, on and off the court. And so I was just thinking, I was like, it's been a few years. I was like, I honestly haven't talked to anyone. Like, I don't know why something like this happened, but I just felt the Lord tell me like, get it started. And it's just funny cause I've never been, gifted in like speaking or anything like that. And I've never done something like this. So it was just like a big step of, leadership in my life. And so I'm excited for the vision of seeing what it looks like going forward.
I don't know, your roommate and close friend Nolan Mader has done podcasts before and has a similar heartbeat to share. So Nolan, what are you hopeful for, excited about as we start this journey?
I'm just excited to integrate basketball and faith just through a story. Like Coach T said, I'm excited to see Griff lead this. And when he called me up after it was planted on his heart, I was just so excited to start it again because I just know the power that podcasts have. And like my hope for my individual podcast, Can I Get an Amen, is just if one person can be changed by that podcast and by that episode, then I did my job and God worked through it. So that's my hope here, is just that through basketball and through faith that they can integrate together and people can hear the story that we go through. That God's creating through this season. And I'm excited just to help Griff out and be alongside him. So,
but this season will take a different format because in the past we've looked back and told a story. This year we're telling a story as we go. So Coach T, maybe briefly share some of the tension in that, because when you're leading a program, you don't know how a story is going to go. You don't know if Griffin's coming in to record, if you yelled at him that day or Griff had a bad practice or whatever. So briefly talk about the tension before we turn to what's going on in the program right now.
Well, you alluded to it. We were joking with these guys, like, well, what happens if we walk in here after practice and we're really mad at you guys? And we all laugh, but the reality is, like, I think we just need to communicate honestly and transparently, because that's what coaching is, right? It's life on life. It's the ups and downs. And I think people would say, well, if you do it at the end of the year, you can just shape the narrative and you can omit things you don't like and make everybody think it's, it was one shot to the top. We've heard that a lot too, because we did podcasts after national championships. We've also done podcasts after tough seasons, after tough losses. And I think that is the true picture of coaching. I mean, at the end of the year, if it's all about wins, one team, one coach is happy and, you know, everybody else goes home upset. But rather, if it's about, hey, the growth that has occurred in my life and the way I've connected to first to Christ and then to other people, man, it opens up a whole nother potential for the story you can tell and the way you can encourage people.
So let's go to last year, Coach, and how you're carrying that into this season and even this summer, because last year did not go the way we wanted. So tell the story that happened and how it's carried forward to the summer and what you're seeing from the team now.
Well, just you bringing up that kind of, makes my hair stick up and, gets me fired up. There's a little bit of irony in the whole thing. Without going into details, you know, we headed into the year and we felt like the Lord had given us a theme of commitment. And we started to talk about the lack of commitment specifically amongst men in our culture, whether it's committed to a marriage, whether it's committed to a job. You know, this generation is changing jobs at all-time highs, whether it's just, I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to follow through with it. And there was just a plethora of lack of commitment. But what we heard was, you guys are going to have to learn to commit when you don't get what you want. And that was a tough pill to swallow, because we began to recognize that often my commitments are based upon me getting what I want. And so we learned, we grew. It was a rough season. You know, we lost more games last year than any other previous year, other than I think my second year. So double-digit losses. We suffered some serious injuries. You know, we're winning conference by two games. Point guard goes down. So we're not getting what we want, but yet we're committing. And somehow we feel like within the last 2 weeks, we turned this thing around and we're headed in the right direction and found we were pushing the right buttons. And we go on the road and we lose a tough one. You know, without going into details, you know, if ESPN had that win probability with 21 seconds to go, it's probably sitting at 98%. I mean, it was almost no way that game, we could lose that game, but we did. And once again, without going into details, we walked out of there and it was obvious you didn't get what you want. Will you stay committed? And that fueled an offseason, I think, which was potentially our best offseason. I mean, we'll find out, but we had more guys in the weight room. We had more guys getting up shots. We had more guys just committed. And that came after they didn't get what they want. And I would say the same thing about our staff. Like, we were committed to these guys. We were more consistent with our follow-up. We had a more clarity in our plan. So I'm anxious as we go into this year, because that is, that's fueling me, and I know it's fueling a lot of our guys, and it's set us up, I think, for a great year.
As I hear this, guys, I think back to last year, and what I wanted this story to be is we didn't get what we wanted all year, mm-hmm. but then we committed at the end, and it led us to a national championship. But it wasn't that, and that was the hardest locker room that I've ever been in when we lost that final game. So if you guys could go back to that moment and then carry it through to the summer and where we're sitting as a team now, how are you guys looking back and seeing how this team's grown since then, and how are you feeling now going into this season?
Yeah, I think that locker room was a feeling like I've never experienced. It was almost confused, like, and like shocking. Like, when we were on the bus ride home, it was like a dream that we all said it was a dream we were like haven't woken up from. And I think carrying that into this year, it just like had a chip on everybody's shoulder. And I obviously can't speak for every single person, and we've got a whole new team, so a lot of guys here with us now maybe didn't even experience that moment, but I think they're following our lead, and they've seen the chip like on our shoulder. But I think it's been a very cool, humble chip, not this aggressive, like we're out to get someone in like a like disrespectful way. It's just like we've got this passion on our heart, and we've got some direction, and I think we're really looking forward to the work that we've put in.
Yeah, I would go off that. I would say, I mean, that locker room moment was one of the worst moments that I've ever experienced in my athletic career. Just the disappointment that I felt was insane. But from there, it just fueled a fire, I know, in so many guys coming back in the summer. I know of a few guys that actually put that picture of that game when we lost and had our heads down, and they were cheering, and the gym was packed, on their phone cover, or printed it out and put it in their lockers or whatever, just to fuel them for what is to come. And I'm just excited to see the way that God redeems that struggle, as well as just the fire that we have from that struggle, because I know that struggles can oftentimes create good things in our lives. So I'm excited.
Coach, you mentioned briefly the structure that's been put in place and walking alongside guys. So for leaders of other programs or organizations or families, talk a little bit about just coming up with a vision for a guy, and then the I Am Third Circles, and how we've tried to build a process to grow towards that vision to see it come to life.
One of the things I think we've recognized over the years, that guys thrive, players thrive, athletes thrive, you know, our own children thrive when they have the appropriate structure and routine. It's pretty simple. You can provide them with a structure. So in coaching, that's teaching them the right fundamentals of the game, however you want to coach it. And then the routine is the repetitive nature of drilling it. You know, and if a guy or a player has those two things, he's going to increase his ability to play basketball. But I think it's the same thing when you look at spiritual growth. You need the right structure. So for us, we've laid this structure of, hey, life is best lived when you live God first, other second, self third. And we didn't make that up. You know, that comes straight out of scripture. I think it's the way Jesus postured his life, and it's the way Jesus ultimately gave his life, right? He's at the cross and he says, I'm going to live my life God first. I'm willing to go to the cross on behalf of others, and I'm going to forsake anything that I think I need or want in this moment. And so as our lives imitate that, we become our best selves. And so we've tried to then go into the off season and say, okay, what does a good structure and then routine look like for our guys spiritually? Routine for us has been teaching our guys how to pray, teaching our guys how to approach the word with just simple habits. Habits are powerful, right? We often think of habits in a negative way. So if I asked you, talk to me about your habits, you probably think of, here are the negative habits I had. But the reality is habits are formative, and they shape us, and they have immense amount of power. So if we think about the positive habits, how are they shaping us in positive ways? So we came up with what we called I Am Third Circle groups. We spent time praying, and I'm probably oversimplifying this, but for the sake of time, as a staff, we prayed for each guy. What is the vision for this player that you want, God? Not who do I want them to be, because as we've talked before in previous episodes, so often coaching for me is about, you know, I want Griff to become this, and I want Griff to do this because I need him to do that. When in reality, I should be going to God saying, who do you want Griff to become? How do I come behind and inside of that and become a part of this bigger story of what you're doing? So we challenge our staff to spend time praying, even fasting. Let's come up with a vision. And it's fun when we sit around as in a staff meeting and all of our, the way we articulate it aligns. So there's often times where, you know, we have a staff of five. Five of us have the same idea for Griff. We see it. We've prayed about it. We feel very connected in that way. So then we'll go to Griff. We'll say, this is the vision for you. This is who God's calling you to become. Here's the structure. We're going to meet monthly. We're going to get on calls. We're also going to have you write out some goals. And then the routine are the habits that you're going to begin to practice that are going to help you lean into that vision. And this year, we in the off season, we call them I Am Third Circles. We had these monthly meetings. There was accountability. We were working towards a goal. And it never got lost. I mean, in the middle of summer, guys were locked in and dialed in. Towards the end of summer, guys were working towards completing those goals. And now we get to see the fruit of that.
Griff, I was able to be with you and DJ Moore and Luke Brown in a group. And I just remember every time we had a conversation, it was like God met us exactly where he needed to in that moment. And the level of transparency, authenticity, guys just saying, hey, here's where I'm at. Here's where I want to grow. Here's what God's been doing. Here's how I've been in for you. I remember going home the month of May. So much was about how do you build in a weight room routine like you never had before. And you had your best month ever in the weight room and came back and set records for yourself. So what was the impact of those for you over the course of a summer when often guys go on their own way and it's hard to stay in touch and it's hard to have accountability from the team?
Yeah, I think just the principle, like you can't do life alone. And as much as I try in my heart to like white knuckle fist it and just like toughen up and do it myself, I the more I do that, the more I realize I can't. And so that was what was really cool about those groups was inviting guys into my life saying, hey, this is where I'm at. I need your help. And as a guy, that's hard to do sometimes because that takes a lot of humility, but it's exactly what Jesus did. And I think what was really cool was just seeing guys at different spots develop a hunger for the Lord and the Word in a way I've never seen. And the power of praying for others. I remember Luke Brown coming in, and the first thing he was like, I just want to pray for three guys. And it was like, dude, I don't think you know three guys' names right now. Like, but that was on his heart, and it was just something that was really cool. And we got to just see over the summer how I think growth and success actually came from just being obedient.
So now after five seasons is the moment of truth. We as coaches are handing over the hosting and telling of the story to you guys. We can control the narrative now, but we're saying mm-hmm. as this season goes, Griffin, you're taking ownership and responsibility of telling this season. What is God doing in this program? What's happening behind the scenes? What's happening in the locker room? How's that translating to on the court? You are becoming the host now. So why don't you guys finish by you and Nolan, just share what is next? What do you hope comes of this? And what's your desires as you guys tell the story of this season through the lens of the players?
Yeah, I think the desire is to just build a bridge between the game of basketball and just our faith. I think we've got guys more than my time ever of playing the game of basketball that just love the game more than I've ever seen. And leveraging that is just going to be a really powerful tool. And this is just what came to mind and the vision the Lord put on my heart. And so I remember thinking, and I just had no idea what was next. And so I reached out to Mater, and he's come alongside me. And so I think the vision is to get guys on the team, coaches from time to time, and just share exactly where we are in the season, being very vulnerable, raw and authentic, and just seeing what the Lord does through those. And I think he can build guys' faith very strongly as we just learn to communicate what the Lord is doing in our locker room. And I think it can keep the joy for the game. I think when you go throughout a long season in college basketball, there's a lot of times that there's just days you don't want to do it, but just keeping the first things first is something I'm really excited about.
Yeah, I think back to the first week that Griffin and I got here, and we just kind of sat in the room and we were thinking about the upcoming season and just about life in general and being back together as roommates. And one of the first things we did was just write down on a whiteboard like our life goals. And we had a team goal that came to both of us, and we both shared it. It was on both of our hearts. And it was that every single guy on this team would just come to know Jesus for the first time if they don't know him yet, or just come to know him deeper in a way. And I think this is a great way to, through the game of basketball and through this platform, come to know Jesus more. And hopefully that will play out on the court as we get into the games and practices and everything. So I'm excited.
So next up, we'll be having conversation with Luke Brown and Nate Childress. It'll be a really exciting time, just communicating what it's like coming from a Division I and coming back to NAI and the culture and what that would say and the lies that they believe. It's going to be a really exciting time, and I hope you guys continue to join this journey throughout our season.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Pursuit. If you were challenged to grow from this podcast, please rate or review us on your podcast platform or share with those you know, as it helps multiply the impact. If you have a question you would like to ask IWOO Hoops on a future episode, hashtag AskIWOOHoops or email jeff.clark@indwes.edu. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at IWOO Hoops. Join us next time right here on The Pursuit. And remember, if you want to be first, find a way to be third.